Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. This week, I present a newly remastered version of Valdis Bell's On Target magnum opus on the Jewish ADL, read by our own Vanessa Neubauer. Just a brief note before we start. Here at our ADV studios, we've suffered a massive computer failure that will take weeks to rebuild. So if I've failed to answer your letters and emails of the last month or so, please resend them. It's likely they were lost in the carnage. And now, on to our show. October is the anniversary month of the creation of the ADL, a Jewish organization with close ties to organized crime, the purpose of which is to monitor and control non-Jews. So these criminal activities and other operations deemed vital to the Jewish establishment can continue without exposure, legal hindrance, or abatement. In the text version of this broadcast, I have photographs showing outgoing ADL chief Abraham Foxman on the left and incoming ADL head Jonathan Greenblatt on the right. I urge you to take a look at these pictures, and I'm telling you that if photos could talk, these would scream, "Underworld crime boss." Over this and the next 2 weeks, we are going to present one of the finest exposés ever produced on this subject, written by Valdis Bell for the American Mercury and read for American Dissident Voices by National Vanguard editor Vanessa Neubauer. I give you Hate and Defamation, the Full Story of the ADL, Part 1.
The year 2013 marked the 100th anniversary of the largest and most well-funded hate and defamation group in the history of mankind, the Anti-Defamation League, or ADL. The organization was originally called the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, after its parent group, the Jewish Fraternal Order B'nai B'rith, meaning Sons of the Covenant, or literally Sons of the Cut, referring to circumcision. The ADL was founded in the immediate aftermath of the conviction of Atlanta B'nai B'rith president Leo Frank for the strangulation and sex murder of a 13-year-old factory girl, Mary Fagan. The international Jewish community did not believe that Frank should have been convicted. They had mounted a huge press, publicity, legal, and lobbying campaign to convince officials and the public that a black man, James Conley, was the real killer. But the evidence against Frank was so strong, and the evidence against Conley so thin, that the Southern, all-white, and doubtless Philo-Semitic, like most of the Christian South, jury unanimously convicted Leo Frank and sentenced him to hang. 2 months after Frank's conviction, on October 20, 1913, the ADL was formed. To this day, the ADL and its allies promote the fiction that Frank's conviction was a result of, quote, anti-Semitism, end quote, and use the case as a rallying cry to garner support and funding. Quote, 100 Reasons Leo Frank is Guilty, end quote, The American Mercury, April 26, 2013. The ADL operates as a private intelligence agency, sending spies, infiltrators, disruptors, and agents provocateurs into the camps, both Jewish and non-Jewish, of those who disagree with its radically pro-Israel and Jewish supremacist agenda. Also like an intelligence agency, it maintains a huge database containing personal information on politicians, writers, dissidents, activists, publishers, bloggers, and even unaffiliated private citizens, so that, should any of these people, quote, get out of line, end quote, in the opinion of the ADL, they can be threatened, quote, exposed, end quote, blackmailed, and thus silenced with maximum effectiveness. In 1993, an ADL operative, Roy Bullock, was caught corrupting police officials and illegally obtaining police files to add to the ADL's dossiers on, quote, thought criminals, end quote, left and right. Despite this, the ADL audaciously uses its money and influence to, quote, educate, end quote, law enforcement officials through a subsidiary called the Law Enforcement Agency Resource Network, LEARN, which uses persuasive techniques to convince police authorities that individuals and groups that the ADL dislikes are dangerous criminals, and that the ADL and its allies are public-spirited, beneficial groups. Ironically, considering its name, one of the main techniques used by the ADL and for which its massive intelligence archive is most useful is public defamation of those who the ADL has declared are its enemies. The ADL is headquartered in New York City and has 29 offices in major cities in the United States, one in Israel, and two known offices in other countries. Abraham Foxman has been, quote, national director, end quote, of the group since 1987. It has an admitted annual U.S. budget of $55 million with listed assets in 2011 of $171 million. The Bullock Case. In 1993, an ADL agent named Roy Bullock, a San Francisco art dealer and fairly well known in the homosexual community there, whose specialty was the infiltration of patriotic Arab American and other organizations on behalf of the League, was found to have in his possession illegally obtained and highly private and personal data on his targets. Data which could only have been obtained from police and other confidential government files. Data that was also discovered in the files of the ADL itself when police raided ADL headquarters in San Francisco and Los Angeles as a result of Bullock's exposure. According to the Los Angeles Times of April 9, 1993, quote, police on Thursday served search warrants on the Anti-Defamation League here and in Los Angeles, seizing evidence of a nationwide intelligence network accused of keeping files on more than 950 political groups, newspapers, and labor unions, and as many as 12,000 people. Describing the spy operations in great detail, San Francisco authorities simultaneously released voluminous documents telling how operatives of the Anti-Defamation League searched through trash and infiltrated organizations to gather intelligence on Arab American, right-wing, and what they called, quote, PINKO, end quote, organizations. Police allege that the organization maintains undercover operatives to gather political intelligence in at least seven cities, including Los Angeles and San Francisco. Groups that were the focus of the spy operation span the political spectrum, including such groups as the Ku Klux Klan, the White Aryan Resistance, Greenpeace, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the United Farm Workers, and the Jewish Defense League. Also on the list were Mills College, the Board of Directors of San Francisco Public Television Station, KQED, and the San Francisco Bay Guardian newspaper. People who were subjects of the spy operation included former Republican Representative Pete McCloskey, jailed political extremist Lyndon LaRouche, and Los Angeles Times correspondent Scott Kraft, who was based in South Africa. In addition to allegations of obtaining confidential information from police, the Anti-Defamation League could face a total of 48 felony counts for not properly reporting the employment of its chief West Coast spy, Roy Bullock, according to the affidavit filed to justify the search warrant. End quote. Quote, ADL vows to cooperate with spy investigation, end quote, Los Angeles Times, April 9, 1993. I'll interrupt the article to inform you that those 48 felony counts were somehow suppressed and the ADL was never prosecuted. A sweetheart deal was worked out in 2000 under which the ADL admitted no wrongdoing, paid an out-of-court settlement of under $200,000, part of it for legal fees and the rest to, quote, charitable groups, end quote, which, quote, fight hate, end quote. In other words, the kind of groups the ADL would support anyway. One such group was the Hate Crimes Reward Fund. issued a weak apology for dealing with, quote, fact finders, end quote, who had violated the law, supposedly without the knowledge of the ADL, and then had the unbelievable audacity to reaffirm their, quote, right, end quote, to spy on any group and anyone just as they always have. Continuing, quote, the Anti-Defamation League disguised payments to Bullock for more than 25 years by funneling $550 a week to Beverly Hills attorney Bruce I. Hockman, who then paid Bullock, according to the documents released in San Francisco. Hockman, a former president of the Jewish Federation Council of Greater Los Angeles and one of the state's leading tax attorneys, will be out of the city until late next week and could not be reached for comment, his office said. Until 1990, Hockman, a former U.S. prosecutor, also was a member of a panel appointed by then-Senator Pete Wilson to secretly make initial recommendations on new federal judges in California. Hockman is a former regional president of the Anti-Defamation League. David Lehrer, executive director of the Los Angeles ADL office, said the organization has not violated the law. But in an affidavit filed to obtain warrants for Thursday's searches, San Francisco police allege that, quote, ADL employees were apparently less than truthful, end quote, in providing information in an earlier search conducted without a warrant. The police affidavit contends that Lehrer had sole control of a secret fund used to pay for, quote, fact-finding operations, end quote. Lehrer, according to the documents, signed checks from the account under the name, quote, L. Patterson, end quote. League officials will not confirm or deny whether Bullock was an employee and have said they simply traded information with police departments about people who might be involved in hate crimes, end quote. I'll add here that the category of crime called, quote, hate crimes, end quote, was virtually invented by the ADL. The purpose of such laws is to add extra penalties for acts which are already crimes under existing statutes, like murder, assault, etc., if the perpetrator can be shown to have held prejudiced or, quote, hateful, end quote, views which might have motivated his actions. Under, quote, hate crime, end quote, laws, American citizens would receive different sentences for the same crime, depending on whether or not their thoughts are, quote, politically correct, end quote, on issues relating to homosexuality, race, nationality, and politics. That such laws might have a chilling effect on free speech. For a thoughtful person would now realize that his every utterance on, quote, sensitive, end quote, topics might someday be used against him in a court of law, should he be required to defend himself with force someday or even have an argument with a member of a, quote, protected class, end quote, was probably the ADL's intention all along. Enter Tom Girard. From the Los Angeles Times, April 13, 1993. Quote, to the outside world, Roy Bullock was a small-time art dealer who operated from his house in the Castro District. In reality, he was an undercover spy who picked through garbage and amassed secret files for the Anti-Defamation League for nearly 40 years. His code name at the prominent Jewish organization was Cal, and he was so successful at infiltrating political groups that he was once chosen to head an Arab-American delegation that visited Representative Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, San Francisco, in her Washington, D.C. office. For a time, Cal tapped into the phone message system of White Aryan Resistance. From police sources, he obtained privileged personal information on at least 1,394 people. And he met surreptitiously with agents of the South African government to trade his knowledge for crisp new $100 bills. These are among the secrets that Bullock and David Gervitz, a former Los Angeles-based ADL operative, divulged in extensive interviews with police and the FBI in a growing scandal over the nationwide intelligence network operated by the Anti-Defamation League. Transcripts of the interviews, among nearly 700 pages of documents released by San Francisco prosecutors last week, offer new details of the private spy operation that authorities allege crossed the line into illegal territory. At times, the intelligence activities took on a cloak-and-dagger air, with laundered payments, shredded documents, hotel rendezvous with foreign agents, and code names. On one occasion, Gervitz recounts, he received a tip that a pro-Palestinian activist was about to board a plane bound for Haifa, Israel. Although the Anti-Defamation League publicly denies any ties to Israel, Gervitz phoned an Israeli consular official to warn them. Shortly thereafter, another Israeli government official called Gervitz back and debriefed him. The court papers also added to the mystery of Tom Girard, a former CIA agent and San Francisco police officer accused of providing confidential material from police files to the Anti-Defamation League. Bullock said it was Girard who sold official police intelligence. Bullock said he split about $16,000, evenly with Girard, telling him at one point, quote, I may be gay, but I'm a straight arrow, end quote. Girard fled to the Philippines last fall after he was interviewed by the FBI, but left behind a briefcase in his police locker. Its contents included passports, driver's licenses, and identification cards in 10 different names. Identification cards in his own name for 4 different embassies in Central America, and a collection of blank birth certificates, army discharge papers, and official stationery from various agencies. Also in the briefcase were extensive information on death squads, a black hood, apparently for use in interrogations, and photos of blindfolded and chained men. Investigators suspect that Girard and other police sources gave the ADL confidential driver's license or vehicle registration information on a vast number of people, including as many as 4,500 members of one target group, the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee. Each case of obtaining such data from a law enforcement officer could constitute a felony, San Francisco Police Inspector Ron Roth noted in an affidavit for a search warrant. End quote. Quote, new details of extensive ADL spy operation emerge, end quote. Los Angeles Times, April 13, 1993.
What a lurid and disgusting story. What an outrage that such corrupt and criminal men hold offices of trust and respect in the United States and are praised as advocates for justice and human rights. And even more outrageous is the fact that these criminals were not punished for their crimes, for their thousands upon thousands of undeniable felonies revealed to us in this one case alone. On our next American Dissident Voices broadcast, we'll tell you how the FBI's illegal COINTEL profiles, which were required by law to be destroyed, somehow found their way into the files of the ADL. How the ADL wined and dined and compromised high American intelligence, military, and other officials, sent them on all-expenses-paid trips to Israel, and created a conduit for secret information to find its way to the Mossad and Shin Bet, Israel's intelligence dirty tricks and political assassination agencies, and how the ADL sent an agent provocateur into radical groups to purposely try to incite anti-Jewish violence. Be with us next week as we continue our exposé of the Jewish ADL on the upcoming edition of American Dissident Voices.